This is Bill Messerly with St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with a special Frontline of Hope update with Bishop Robert J. Brennan, Bishop for the Diocese of Columbus for Wednesday, the fourth week of Easter. Welcome and happy Easter, Your Excellency.
Thank you. Happy Easter.
You know, the listeners have been so encouraged with your daily updates. In fact, we've heard a number of callers touch base with us and talk about their faith for the first time, kind of warming up with this opportunity for prayer and some quiet at home with family. Would you like to offer any words of encouragement and welcome to our listeners?
Sure. Oh, it's always glad. I'm always glad to be able to speak with you. We had a little prayer session this morning with some of the workers at the Diocesan Pastoral Center, and I told them, I said, it's interesting spending my day talking into a microphone and believing that there were people out there listening.
Well, they are.
But I do know that you're there, and I appreciate that a whole lot. And it is interesting. You know, the Holy Spirit is always at work and taking advantage of the situation that we're in. And so while this is not a good, it's not a good thing that we have this pandemic, it's not a good thing that we're not able to come to Mass, it's not a good thing that we're somewhat separated, the Holy Spirit finds ways to break through those walls, to break through those barriers. And so if this becomes an opportunity to you to open your heart to pray at home, wow, say thank you, Lord, and jump right in.
And if the listeners haven't heard, they can receive the Sacrament of Reconciliation now in the Diocese of Columbus. So we are, you are, and all of us are excited about being more engaged in our faith, in not just a spiritual way, but in a physical way.
Correct, and celebrating the sacraments. Now, what we're asking of people is that you can go to either your own parish website, and they'll give you the list what's in the area, or we have a list of contacts on our diocesan website. What we're not doing is we don't have hours set for confession, you know, Saturday from 4 to 5, like many parishes ordinarily do. What we're asking you to do is to call either your parish, one of the local parishes, or, for example, the Josephinum. These priests at the Josephinum are making themselves available. Call. If somebody's there, they'll pick it right up. If not, they'll get back to you and set up a time that you can come. And the reason we are doing that is we're trying to avoid the big crowds and the lines, and we want to respect that sense of social distancing. So we're asking people, rather than just to look for, you know, confession times, to set up a time so that A, the priest can greet you appropriately, and B, that we don't have people on top of one another. So, you know, people have been great. Again, many, many sacrifices. But my understanding, talking to a number of different priests, is that by and large, or across the board, people have just been great and doing whatever it takes so that we can meet, you know, overcome the hurdles. And you know, we're working now because we have that target date for the celebration of Holy Mass in public ways. We're working to make sure that we're ready for that so that we can welcome people and be as safe as possible. So believe me, I and all your priests, we're looking forward to this as much as you are.
I looked up the definition of generosity, and it is giving of oneself, and get this, in a willing and cheerful manner for the good of others. And I was struck by the willful and cheerful manner. That's becoming more and more difficult as time goes on with this physical distancing. Any words of advice to us as listeners?
Boy, that sounds like St. Paul wrote that.
Yeah,
that,
well, I think it was Webster.
But it is very Pauline. That's what Paul's, you know, God loves a cheerful giver. But in a willful and cheerful, well, you know, to be honest with you, in some ways it's harder, but in some ways people find themselves digging down deeper into their hearts. I think we're all more aware of the needs that are around us, of the sufferings of other people, and we're all also aware that the sacrifices we make whether they be the restrictions that are tying us down a little bit, or the sacrifices we make by sacrificial giving in a willful and cheerful manner, actually have an impact. They're actually we're doing things that help other people, that make a concrete difference. So, you know, on one level, yes, I guess it is a little more difficult, but I think at another level, people are seeing the difference it makes. And so I'm finding, in a sense, an intensity of generosity.
Mm-hmm.
People have been even more generous, you know. And so how do you, if you're asking for advice, two things. One, be grateful, recognize where God is working in your life, and two, be attentive. Just notice what's going on and notice the needs that are around us. And those two things, being grateful, recognizing God's blessing in your life, and being attentive to the needs, that'll stir the heart. By all means, that'll stir the heart.
And speaking of being attentive and resilient, today is a special day to remember nurses.
That's right. It's one of those Hallmark days. You know what I mean? I have to confess, I never paid much attention to all of them. I mean, you got Mother's Day, Father's Day. Those are the big red letter ones, right? Today is Nurse Appreciation Day, and having a few nurses in my family, my cousin, my niece, I'm very conscious of the work that they're doing. They're back in New York where they're in the heart of it all, but also some of our Catholic family here of so many are nurses and doing just extraordinary, extraordinary work. We talk about the front line of hope. I think I just stumbled on that phrase, but I was talking about the nurses and about people who are feeding the poor. You want to talk about the front line of hope, right? So on this day, maybe we pray in a very particular way for all those who are nurses and all healthcare workers. But since today's Nurse Appreciation Day, let's offer a prayer of gratitude and supplication, praying that they be kept safe and well. So we have a couple of patron saints for nurses, right?
Yeah. I didn't know about this one until this morning, but St. Agatha of Sicily, who was born in 231 AD, so just a couple hundred years after Jesus Christ was born. That's a very early saint, and she wasn't necessarily a nurse, but she was resilient, and that's why she is attached to the patron saint of nurses, that she was persecuted and she was willing to stand up to that persecution.
That's right. She lived during a time, that third century was a time of fierce persecution. It would come in waves, but under the reign of Decius, there was all kinds of persecution. And you know, in a certain way, I think a lot of women... you think of some of the women saints. I think a lot of women were particularly persecuted, taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And so St. Agatha it stands out as for her strength of character. And then last week we celebrated the feast of St. Catherine of Siena. And because of her work during the plague and her care for especially the poor and the sick, we keep her in mind as well as she's a patron. And while not an official one, I was just thinking of another, a New Yorker, St. Mary Ann Cope. Mm-hmm. St. Mary Ann Cope was a religious sister. And when Father Damien in Hawaii said, we need reinforcements, sisters went to Hawaii to the leper colonies. They serve the poorest of the poor. And whereas, but I always get a laugh, Father Damien, you know, he contracted the disease himself. I think even before we knew a lot about hygiene and about the nature of contagious diseases, the sisters were always about being clean and everything being perfect, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think Sister Mary Ann Cope and her sisters, they went in there and they made sure everything was clean and perfect. So they too, some real role models in the life of the church, who cared for the poor. And then Pope Francis just recently, I loved this. He was reading a letter around Holy Week, and he's reading from a paper. And all of a sudden, he looks up. So it's almost as if he was ad-libbing, and he just said, "So many heroes, every day, every hour." And I think we know a lot of those heroes today. You know, we think of some of the patrons in history, but wow, I can think of some real heroes today.
You know, there's a common saying that you're strong because you don't have any other choice but to be strong. And that's a phrase that I think is well represented with the nurses that I know.
That's right. You're strong, but you're powered by that inner generosity. So like at a time like this, it's all being seen so clearly, but that's because that generosity is always there. You know, again, apart from the pandemic, I saw a card recently that said, nurses are angels with really strong stomachs.
That is so true. That is so true.
And that's it. So, you know, there's that generosity that fires you every day that now rises up to the increased need.
Yeah. And they're so humble because there are so many humble things that are part of their work, not just the kind of the highfalutin part of their work, the thinking part of their work, but just the basic necessities of human life.
Indeed. Indeed. Yes. And, you know, it's the things that need to be done, you know. So we say thank you today in a very, very particular way.
In today's reading, we talk a little bit more about being an evangelist, and we'll talk about that before we go to our prayer. But evangelization comes at a cost, doesn't it?
That it does. And so we see that in the martyrdom of the saints. But, you know, today I was struck, and I'll talk about this at Mass, by the beginnings of evangelization. So this is really the beginning of the missionary part of the Acts of the Apostles. And, you know, we heard how Barnabas, the disciples in Antioch sent for reinforcements. They got Barnabas, and then Barnabas got Saul, who would become Paul. And then they go back, Barnabas and Saul go back to Jerusalem. And then in prayer and fasting, the apostles are told, set Paul and Barnabas aside and send them out on mission. Mm-hmm. It's prayer and fasting. That's the impetus of evangelization. You know, yes, we use human tools. It's pastoral plans and social media and all these things. But at the heart of it is prayer and fasting. It's letting the Lord speak, because it's so easy to turn evangelization into my message, into our work. Mm-hmm. And really, that's not what happens in evangelization. We're being entrusted with the work of another, with the work of the Lord.
Wow. That is the root of evangelization, prayer and fasting. And that's from Acts 12, and that's the reading today. And you'll be celebrating Mass with us at 12:05 today, like every other day from the cathedral, St. Joseph Cathedral in downtown Columbus. Bishop Brennan, would you like to close us with a prayer?
Indeed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Queen of Heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For the Son whom you merited to bear, alleluia, has risen as he said, alleluia. Pray for us to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia. For the Lord is truly risen, alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Bishop Brennan, thank you so much again for joining us on these Frontline of Hope updates. I know that your schedule is intense and busy, but I know you want to connect with all of our listeners. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have a good one. God bless.
God bless you. And now we rejoin our regularly scheduled programming already in progress.